you know what I like for breakfast? A bit of Ben and Marv.
Friday, Friday, Friday night shindig. Friday, Friday, Friday night shindig, shindig, Friday. Friday night shindig. You're listening to the Shindig Breakfast Show here on FCM Radio, and this is not the Shindig Breakfast Show. Hang on, we need to come up with a new intro, Ben.
Why?
I've been saying it's the Shindig Breakfast Show on FCM Radio for all this time. Yeah. We can't say that anymore. It's now
the Friday Night Shindig, live
on FCM Radio. It doesn't rhyme anymore, Ben. Oh, I haven't got the rhymes anymore, everybody. It's all right. We'll come up with a whole new collection of rhymes before the end of this evening show, and we are
live.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We would say we're going to be live every week of this forthcoming season, but we can't say that because we know for sure next week we're definitely not going
live.
To be live. That's right, Ben. Thank you for playing. But let's not get into next week just yet, Ben. Let's focus on the now. Let's focus on what's happening here. What's coming up in this evening show?
Well, coming up in the next few minutes, we're going to be going over live to a campsite in Banbury to speak to a very drunken swamper.
Hooray!
Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Cal Madsen.
Hooray!
Not sure if he's drunk, but it is Friday night and we are live. And we've got all the usual favourites. We've got the Shindig Pick of the Week, the song that's just playing wrong, the midday review at 11 a.m. We've got the quiz, the buffer, the media review.
Yeah.
And we are live. Live, live, live.
We're actually live.
Live.
Yeah, we're actually live.
We're live.
Yeah, we're live.
We're,
normally
in Manchester.
Say, we're live from some car park in Cheadle.
We're live in Manchester. Swampy's live in Banbury. And Margie is live somewhere.
And I can prove that we're live, ladies and gentlemen, because if you're in the Piccadilly Arena area, then there's a man on the canal there having a wee against the wall and using his camera phone at the same time. Who knows what's going on down
why
there, Ben?
That?
I don't know, mate.
Is it really?
He's right down there. There he is. Have a little look. I don't know why you've got out of your chair specifically to have a look at that, but... Maybe, Ben, you want to tell people about the contact details at this point?
Ben and Marv, it's fcumradio.co.uk, station at fcumradio.co.uk, or on Twitter at fcumradio.
Shindig. So if you've never joined us for the Shindig Breakfast Show, this all might be a little bit weird, but if you've never joined us for the Friday Night Shindig, none of us know what's going to happen. It's the first Friday Night Live Shindig we've ever done. Shindig Live on a Friday night. Friday Night Shindig Live. Close to swearing. Friday. That's right, Shindig on a Friday. And there are no rules, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what's going to happen, so get in touch. You make the show. We ignore your messages, whatever.
Wait,
but we don't know, you know, normally be like, all right, here comes 10 minutes of classic Ben and Marv banter. Here we go. Just chat, chat, chickity chat, chat. Marv watched a couple of episodes of The Chase before Ben came round. He's probably got some great Bradley Walsh-based stuff. And Ben, that's to look forward to later in the programme because we don't have time to talk about that stuff now. Because I assume, are you going to make a phone call like now or do I play a song?
I'm going to try and get Swampy on the phone.
I feel like, Ben, a proper radio show at this point would play a song and then come back with the interview.
I said 22.
Oh, it's 8:39, so Ben. We are live and it's 8:39.
Have you got the volume up?
The phone. No, I haven't.
Okay, right, so we need that up.
There we go.
So is it ringing? I can hear him. Right. Hi, Swampy. You're live on FCM Radio. Please do not swear.
Hold on. For goodness sake, I thought I was on Skype.
No, you're not on Skype.
Can you turn your volume up on the phone?
Yes, it is up. We're not on Skype, I'm afraid, because Marv's lost the login for it. So
stay there. 1 second.
Why? What's he doing?
It's an exciting twist, isn't it, for our first call? There's a really loud hiss, Ben.
There is a loud.
Oh, are you there again?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. This is great. So, Swampy, can you just explain where you are at the moment? Because you've put the groundwork in and you've gone down to Brackley early.
I have indeed, and in fairness to say, never work with children, never work with animals, and never work with someone that's drunk. I'm in a field full of sheep, there's a lot of kids running around, I'm half cut. Well, actually, they're not even been shaved, in fairness. It's a disgrace. The weather's been gorgeous, and they're walking around like they've got, like, winter coats on. It's an absolute disgrace. I've had a word with the farmer. he's not interested. He said, in fairness, they're happy as they are. They're going to be turned into some form of burger and lamb shank in the next 3 weeks. So why do they care?
I think they care about being turned into a burger in the next 3 weeks. He's setting panic into these poor little lambs.
Well, they would do if he understood what was going on.
Fair point.
That's a fair point. So, Swampy, it's your first time down to Brackley in living memory. What's your views on Brackley as an area and Banbury where you are?
Well, I'm in Banbury at the moment. I've got to say, it's very, very nice. The campsite we're staying on is surrounded by fields. In fact, the pitch on the right-hand side, it's actually got two goal ends. And I reckon it's actually pretty better equipped.
You're already at the ground.
Well, I might as well.
At the ground already? This is madness. I mean, it's not madness. It's unbelievable preparation, isn't it? You are a professional, Swampy.
Listen, Marv. I saw you last week down at Grub. I was there just sorting out the feel of the place, see what it was like. It was a good vibe. I went there the Sunday as well. So I did the prep on the Saturday. I then enjoyed the Sunday even more. And that's what you want to do. If you want to understand a football club and a football ground, go the day before.
That's it. Have a
look at the surroundings, see what they're like. At the moment, I mean, they're playing a 19-4-2, and they're primarily the sheep, but they're looking good on the pitch. it's a sloping pitch, in fairness, surrounded by trees, and I'm not quite sure whether or not the FC supporters are going to enjoy it. But at the same time, from where I am, I've got a bird's eye view because my tent and my van is right next to it, so it's lovely.
I'm thrilled that we've got an animal expert on location. So, I mean, actually leads me to one of the questions I had for you this morning, that if you were going to redesign football to be played by animals, which animal do you think would be best prepared, best kind of set to play the game of football?
Oh, well, it's very, 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 very easy there. Up top, you've got a giraffe.
Straight away, yeah.
There's no question, you know, as long as you've
got... He's right.
As long as you've got a couple of decent cheaters, left wing and right wing, getting down there, bagging the ball in there, the giraffe nods it in, it'd be no problem at all. I think in the middle of the park, you need a couple of rhinoceroses.
Really?
A couple of rhinos.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're up and down kind of guys.
Not a lot of stamina, the old rhino, have they?
Absolutely. In goals, you're going to have, I would say, the biggest of the gorilla family. It's going to have to be the great ape.
What about
the big one?
Surely you go with agility and an orangutan.
No. I'm having a vegan in goals, and they are they're the beasts. No one goes away near them because basically they gnash the teeth. And I mean, who needs spider when you've got you've got one of those beasts in goals? I think what you'd also have is I'd like to see from a continental perspective maybe some alpacas because they spit on everyone.
So that's why they're worth including, because they spit on everyone. I mean,
just got on you.
Right.
You've gone past.
The alpaca is the least racist of all the animals, because they don't care who you are and they'll spit on you.
That's a very good point.
They don't care where you come from. They will spit away. I noticed there's no birds in your team, though, Swampy. No winged beasts.
I am surrounded by a number of red kites and some lovely buzzards. The problem is with them, they take the ball and they carry on going too far and it's a goal kick.
True. Yeah, it's a good point. Good problem. Point, mate. Yeah.
They've gone beyond before you know it and you're thinking, and they're great in the air, but unfortunately, they're always dropping the ball. And that is one of the downsides. I'd love to see a llama because of Frank Sidebottom, because he loved llamas, Frank Sidebottom. but I would have thought, primarily, in defence, I think you're going to have to, they've got a great goalkeeper. Two centre halves. I think there's a plethora of animals you could have there. I mean, this is called a very Jungle Book. I don't know if you watched the actual original film.
It's Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Yeah,
it's exactly what it is.
Sorry, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. That's right. Yes, and we don't go down that route again. But I think we could actually combine the FC team with a plethora of football animals. I'm not saying who the manager would be, or the assistant manager, or indeed the substitutes, but I think we've got a decent half-baked team.
Well, we'll ask the manager ourselves in 20 minutes.
We've got Margie coming on in 15 minutes or so we'll ask him then. Same question.
His top animal team would be.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Lewis Lace is centre-forward.
And everyone else, get in touch. Don't forget, we're talking animals in sport. What animals work well in what sport? Let us know.
So, Swampert, just another question while you're down there. Have you seen Brackley Castle yet? It's just by the Tesco, apparently.
I've not got as far as Brackley. I've said in Banbury.
You said it twice now.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I just thought...
Stop pushing him on Brackley. He's in bloody Banbury, all right?
I know, you could pretend, though.
Oh, you could, yes.
I'm 18 minutes outside of Brackley, and I actually was going to say at Blenheim Palace, only round the corner, but it's the Country Fire weekend.
Wow.
And I was going to say that, unfortunately, it's a little bit overpriced.
Yeah.
But I was prepared to pay it because I wanted to see John Craven.
Of course. He's worth 18 quid.
Is he still doing it?
He bobs up now and then. And
wheel him out.
He's worth the entrance fee to a degree. However, I'm
to
now
a degree.
Here... well, yeah. Only because...
to a degree. He's worth £18.
Right, Swamper, are you there still?
I'm not going anywhere. You know what, by the way, we booked our meal. We want a meal for 9 o'clock tonight in the pub, Gastro Pub. That's at the top of this hill. It's a small hill, but it's a nice walk, but at the same time, it's a walk. I actually got into my main course at 25 minutes past eight. A lovely vegan... Thai green curry. I've had to leave it, left the cell there with a lamb shank, not the lambs from the field next to us, because that would be
wrong. They're still walking.
They are also walking, just about.
Just about.
I've walked down, I've now got a wonderful beer from Verdant's, which are down in Falmouth, one of the best breweries in the land. I've got some Brockman's gin, and I've got some Zygorium gin, which is made in Manchester. And I'm sat here on my Todd in the field. Although saying that earlier on, I mean, you know the etiquettes of camping. You guys, I mean, Ben,
I'd book a hotel.
Ben, we've got a great van. You've been in the van. You know how good the van is. We've got our tent with us.
It's watching Home and Away, isn't it? Last time I saw it.
Good exactly. Van. Yes, and we set the tent up, and within 20 minutes we have a multitude of Ben's favourite creature.
Spiders.
Oh no!
The spider.
Oh no!
And we realised after about an hour why we had so many small, beautiful. I mean, minute, but millions of them, because we found Mum, and Mum had a big bum, producing all her little spiders. It's been beautiful. It's been great. But you know the worst thing about, I mean, the etiquette of camping is that you play your music, and I've got a sound system in this van that is absolutely amazing. I've got a 200 watts subwoofer that actually blasts out the bass. So I walked three quarters of the way up to the campsite to see if people would complain, and a young couple turned up. And a lad that had been to Specsavers but clearly hadn't looked in the mirror, because basically he was wearing sort of like white see-through glasses that looked like he looked like Buggles, but a little bit weirder. And I went, "Is the music okay for you from here? Are you okay with it?" "Yeah, no problem at all, my friend. As long as our music doesn't upset with you, it'll upset you later." And that's fine, no problem at all. 25 minutes later, I walked a bit further down to make sure that everybody else was okay. He came out and went, "Excuse me, mate, I'm not being funny, but your bass seems to be a little too loud. Could you maybe turn it down?"
Yeah.
Anyway. And I'm thinking, you young, immature bugger. I was playing Orbital.
What's he talking about then? What does he want? What would you rather have had on? Did you get into that conversation?
Video killed the radio star.
What do you want, mate? Ed Sheeran? Is that what you want?
Well, the
you bloody transparent wearing glasses weirdo.
You know what, Marv? I'm with you. I've got a sticky feeling. We'll go over there later on. I'm going to let his tyres down of his vehicle.
Yeah, that's justice. He asked you to turn the bass down. You take out his tyres, mate.
Not his tent, because you can put the tent back up. You can't put tyres back up on a slope.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Now, just before you go, because you've only got 10 more minutes to fill.
I've only got 10 more minutes to fill just before you go.
That's right. So just to talk about the football tomorrow, because that's why everyone's tuning in. You're not alone. You've got us two here, and you've got literally tens of people listening, and that's good.
I've got a football question ready as well.
So first off is Marv's football question of the week.
Thanks, yeah, thanks, Ben. Swampy, I'd like to use you to get a little bit of insight into the FC dressing room that other people, norms like me, don't really get the opportunity to see. So I've got just one question this week.
Because you're sensible.
Exactly. Well, thanks, mate. Thank you. If you were going to have a Netflix marathon with one particular player from the FC squad, which player would it be and why? A Netflix marathon.
At this moment in time, my Netflix marathon probably would be with Tom Greaves.
Tom Greaves, right. Why Tom?
Why Tom? Because basically Tom's such a nice guy, he would let me play anything I wanted to, in all fairness.
Right.
And he wouldn't be selfish. He'd work hard, he'd get through it, and at the end of it, he'd smile and take autographs. And that's what he's like. That's
what you want in a Netflix marathon.
Yeah, that's what he's like. He's one of those guys. He's the antithesis of FC United of Manchester. We've lost, obviously, a lot of very well-known players, but with the current players, in fairness, he's one about three that I know. Either that or Jake Williams. I mean, Jake Williams, I think, would be an interesting one. Jake's a young lad, 22 years of age, but he's got a mature head on his shoulders. And I would like to sit down with him. I've been watching a series on Netflix, actually, the last three or four days called Love.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an infectious series. It's well written. I think it's Paul... is it Paul Rush, I think it is, wrote it, or Paul Lush. Very, very good. And I would think he would sit down there. And the other thing as well is, I would want to sit down with someone that wanted us to listen to R&B or watch... or listen to the same old, you know, archetypal footballing nonsense. I'd like to sit down with someone that actually can read and understand and listen and appreciate something beautiful.
Tom Greaves. It's Tom Greaves all day long, Swampy. I agree, of course it is.
And as a Yorkshireman, he's a lovely man as well.
I feel like Tom Greaves would enjoy the BBC iPlayer Storyville Kasparov versus the Machine, which is still there. That's a great watch.
Thanks, Marv.
I think you're right. I'd also think he'd sit down and he would laugh at Cal Parter Strong.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
the funny thing is today, we're in an area where basically small aircraft have been flying over all day. And it goes back to that scene and in Cal Parter Strong, it was the second series where he wasn't the instructor and the lad next to him wasn't the instructor, but they both thought they were the instructors. And it's one of the funny scenes in comedy television ever.
I'm pretty sure it happened in Saved by the Bell when I was a child.
And One Foot in the Grave.
Yeah.
Right, so Swampy, just...
That was Creech, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Swampy, last question. Mm. Tomorrow, what's your starting 11?
It's going to be Vidan followed by Brockmans, maybe a little bit of Zygorian. Ben, it's a tough one.
Is that because you can't name them all?
He doesn't know half the squad.
Yeah. It's a tricky question when you don't know their names.
Good point. Thanks, Marv. Thanks. I mean, if Marv had asked that question, well, in fact, Marv wouldn't have asked that question because he's not as insensitive as you
are. That's right. You get Netflix marathons and animals with me. That's where I am.
I think, Ben, we discussed it on Tuesday with the Fleetwood game. I think we can see pretty much the same 11. I know the cars come out today on the message board saying a number of players are injured, some are available. So I can't see much of a different team from Tuesday's outing against Fleetwood, which I thought particularly we did very, very well in. I was pleased to see the way our football was played. I thought there was good fluidity within the team. There was good tempo against a very, very good Fleetwood Town team, in all fairness. And I can't see it being much different from that. I mean, I know Basso is signed for the season. We know Jake Williams is now signed for the season. I would like to see Jake start, perhaps ahead of Crowley. I think Jake gives a little bit more. Crowley was decent, but I think that Crowley looks a little bit subdued and a little overall for me on Tuesday. In the middle of the park, I think Brown will actually probably start. I think we've got Nathan Lowe there. I'd like to see a partnership up top, though, of maybe Greaves and Gilchrist, or on the bench, either or, Lacey and our young Wayne Rooney lookalike.
McCarthy.
I think that maybe is a bit different. I think teams will have done their preparation and certainly even pre-season. Clubs are looking at other clubs and seeing how they're going to set up. And I think they've done their preparation. And I'd like to see you start with a two up top, maybe five in the midfield and three at the back. It'll be an interesting one. I think Fagbola is a certainty. If he partners anyone, it'll be interesting. I think also, left-back-wise, I think Danny Wisdom probably will be left-back. And I think right-back, for me, I would have Danny Williams in there, and then it's a decision to be made. Carl's been away, he's come back, he knows who's fit, who's not fit. But I think it'd be very, very similar to Tuesday's team with a very similar bench as well. But it's going to be interesting. The team that we've never done well against, especially down in this part of the
never
world.
Never scored
where,
against them.
Well, okay. Well, that's why I said we've never done quite well against them.
Yeah, I'm not even quite.
Well, okay, we've never done well against them. In fact, we've never scored a goal
we've
against them.
We've never done anything against them.
Turning up's the best we've done.
And it's even that memorable down here. I can't even remember being down here.
True story.
And yet you've turned up to the pitch 24 hours early because you're that excited.
In fairness, not 24, 40 hours. We're here for 2 days now.
We should just say as well, we finished the Tuesday night commentary, all four of us all looking at each other. We were a bit of a surprise look on our face going, that was all right, that. I think we played all right. And that's good for tomorrow. Hopefully we'll take that into tomorrow's match.
Of course, listen, I thought of all the games I've seen pre-season, and I haven't seen all of them, in fairness, but I think when you play the games, good quality opposition, and personally, as I said on Tuesday, I think we should have had three or four games on that similar ilk to build our team and build our strength and fitness. Saying that, we played well on Tuesday against a very good Fleetwood Town team. Three or four players were in their first team squad, and we worked hard and we were resolute, and the result wasn't a disappointment at all. I thought we had opportunities. We hit the crossbar twice, we hit the post twice, and we worked well. I think if we can get the pace in the game, if we can get the likes of Nathan Lowe with the quality that he possesses, but getting playing at a little bit faster pace, moving the ball forward more than sideways or backwards, and we get that midfield working, I think we've got the opportunity to tomorrow to get something out of the game. We can't afford really to start slowly and build this squad and move it forward after four or five games, because we know how tough this division is. But we've got an opportunity tomorrow, and I think from the game we played on Tuesday, the only downside to a degree is it's a 3-hour journey.
Yeah.
And that can affect teams, certainly this league, at this stature. Hopefully, you know, we can come out all blazing, and you know, there'll be a lot of fans down here tomorrow, and it'll be a good game. I mean, the weather is sunny with a bit of rain, so it'll be conducive to a fast-flowing game. It won't be one of those games where at this time of the year where it's too hot and it's a slow, lethargic game. There will be pace in the game because basically the weather will allow us to do that.
How's the air temperature?
What temperature?
Yeah, the kind of, you know, the humidity level.
Well, tomorrow pollen counts is medium. The temperature wise, sort of about 16 to 17 degrees, overcast with sunny spells and rain.
Right.
So it's I've already done all this, but Marv, because obviously, because we're camping, I have to take all my camping gear down in the morning. So I've already preempted all that, because basically having to put everything into your van wet.
Yeah.
But it'll be a decent game. I mean, Brackley, you know, they've again as a club improved. They've been looking for themselves for a top seven finish, as most clubs will be this year, because we know the way it's all being changed around. But at the same time, you know, FC and I can go, if we get a result tomorrow, it'll bode well. We've got a big game against Spennymoor on Tuesday, and then we move forward, and we've got big games coming up. So a good start, or even a good performance, even a draw tomorrow will be good. I always say, go away, don't lose, and win your home games. You're going to be in the top half of the table.
Swamper, last question. Can I have a lift back home tomorrow?
You can if you want to come to Ebden Bridge, because
I'm
driving
straight
down the
bloody festival, aren't you? Yeah, okay.
A1 and meet up with Roy Williamson and his wife Gail, and then Sunday we're doing a lovely vintage car fair in Ebden Bridge with a great vegan little restaurant and a few beverages as well.
Well, thank you, Swampy, for that delightful insight from Northamptonshire. Have a lovely evening with the lovely Estelle, and we'll be hearing from you tomorrow from 2:30 p.m. on FC
Radio. Next week, can I have more questions from Marv, please? They were far more interesting.
We're pre-recording,
so...
Yeah, Farmer, you saw that, mate.
I mean, the question from Marv... So this isn't live?
No, we are live
now. Yeah, don't go out in a blaze of glory.
How can we pre-record a live show?
We're going to live pre-record next week's live pre-record, all right? It's very complicated, Swan, but you know, you're a radio tech guy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do indeed, yes, Mark. Well, Marv, it has always been a privilege and a pleasure. Ben, I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, bye.
Take care.
Turn him off.
Marvellous Swampy there on FCUM Radio. Radio for FCUM Manchester. And this is Friday Night Shindig with Ben and Marv.
And just to say, we have no hiss for the listener. That's just for us.
Oh,
so no need to worry. Andy Bernard has been in touch to say, hope he's had his jabs. Come and say hello tomorrow. I'm the noisy one on the side of the pitch. Andy Bernard is...
Whoa.
He's the PA announcer.
What jabs?
Well, I'm assuming because he's in a field.
Oh, right, thank God. I thought there was something much more serious.
No, just lots of midges. Oh, right. And Claire in the wildcard has said, hello.
Hello, Claire.
Right. So shall we get straight to Margie now? Because I did say 9 o'clock to him, and we don't want to keep him.
Oh, God, we don't want to keep him waiting.
From his bedtime, because obviously he's got a busy day tomorrow. I think the coach is leaving, dear listener. The coach is leaving at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, and obviously those people going down on official travel, you're well aware of how early we'll be leaving tomorrow. It's a long trip, and I'm surprised that I didn't ask the question. I should have asked the question, what animal would you like to have sat next to on the team bus going down?
That would have been a great question. You definitely wouldn't have picked a bird for that one. Hello?
Hello, Carl. It's Ben from FC Radio. You're live on the air. Please don't swear. Don't be like that. Carl, welcome to the Friday Night Shindig. You're our second guest on the show. It must be a very proud moment for you. How's preparations going for tomorrow's big league kickoff?
Yeah, we're all set. Everything's done. All the travel arrangements are sorted. The squad's in place. So I'm looking forward to the... to the journey, and then hopefully a good performance with a good result and a decent journey back as well, because we've got quite a few new lads within the squad, and there's usually a little bit of a initiation sing-song kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as you know, you've been on the coach, you've seen it, so there's quite a few of them, so we'll see. We'll test out people's characters and their personalities, and it's all good.
Sounds terrifying.
No, you can tell a lot by song selection when you're doing karaoke on a bus. You really can. Just to talk about the trip away, is it advantageous to get a 3-hour trip? It's one of the longest ones, isn't it? First game of the season. It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is, but it's also, you know, we go in there, everything's brand new. It's a clean slate, if you like. Brackley have been notoriously difficult for us, but a new season brings new things, and that's what we're hoping to go down there and, you know, change around our fortunes, really. The first time we went down there, it just wasn't good enough for us. Our performance was nowhere near. Last year, I felt we were a little bit unlucky not to get something from the game, but tomorrow, obviously, is going to be one that they've strengthened again, like virtually every club in the league. I'm sure they'll be up for it, as you would be first game of the season, playing against FC United. It's going to inspire any team who's playing against them. What we've got to make sure is our new lads accept the challenge that we put to them about representing the club. And we can come back with something positive from tomorrow.
Hi, Carl. It's Marv here as well. I just wanted to ask, because Swampy's just told us that it's a high pollen count, so I wanted to know insight on the team. Is there any hay fever sufferers in the team? What kind of preparations are they making tonight? Have they gone for all their jabs?
Yeah, they have, yeah. I'm probably the worst one with the hay fever, to be fair. I've only developed it over the past few years, but no, there's no one. All the lads... We are called semi-professional, and that's just because we don't train full-time. I think we all approach the games exactly the same in making sure that we're in the best shape we can be to represent the football club.
Now, it's been a few weeks since we spoke before the Bohemians match, and everything was up in the air at that point. You know, I think you probably had about 50 different people hanging around who were vying for signatures to join the first team squad this season. The latest news story on the official website, it looks like we've got a very strong squad going into tomorrow's game. Obviously, we're missing Scott Kay because of his 18 bookings or whatever it is, and Matt Hughes and Danny Brady.
He hasn't played a game yet. He's already got 18 bookings.
From last season.
Good grief.
If they brought in that sin bin in, he'd be gone, wouldn't he? What's the squad? Are you happy with the signings that have been made? And have you got an idea now about what formation you're going to play and the starting 11?
Yeah, what we'd look to do is make sure that trying to recruit players who can play in a couple of different positions. So our formation can be flexible, because I think in the past we've probably played against teams and they know how we're going to play. There might have been the odd curveball we could have thrown at them, but that was limited due to personnel. Whereas now I think we've recruited and strengthened in areas where we'll be able to set up differently sometimes. You know, the kind of pattern of play, we won't go away from that, because we want to play the most attractive football as we possibly can. Teams that you're playing against dictate that, in respect of the way that they set up and try and stop us playing and things like that. But we'll try and stay brave and keep going with the things that have served us right all along the way, really.
And what's your expectations for this season? I mean, we had a good natter on It'll Be Off in midweek, and we were talking about the runners and riders. It's everyone knows this. It's such a competitive division this season. We won't really know where.
Say that about every division. Every division.
No, this division though, it's bonkers. But it's going to be tough, isn't it? I mean, we won't know until the first few games where we are. But what are your expectations for this season, Carl?
Expectations are to keep improving, to try and, you know, it's been a big change. I was working it out the other day, over the 12 years that I've been managing FC, we've probably rebuilt something like six teams, and this is a new one, so... it's going to take a little bit of gelling, a little bit. We could be really lucky. There was a thing a few years ago where Hyde United, Gary Lowe's a mate of mine, and he got the Hyde United job, and 2 weeks before the season, he didn't really have any players, and then they just clicked. That was where Birchie and Callum Byrne thrived, and you know, took it on, and they went and won the league. So you never know. I think it's a little bit different now in respect of the amount of money that's involved at our level is ridiculous. It really is, you know, with the amount of full-time teams, and then you stick into the mix that Wolves have taken over AFC Telford. Alfreton have had a massive injection of money. Southport have had a massive injection of money. Stockport County have recruited well. Obviously, they've got a budget that can compete. Salford, we don't really need to talk about, because everyone knows their spending power. You know, so it is what it is, kind of thing. It's going to be really, really tough. So it's difficult to stamp any kind of expectation. I just want to keep us moving forward. We've done that over the two seasons that we've been in the league, you know, being comfortable last year and securing a cup. I'd love to be able to be challenging, and that might be possible.
Well, fingers crossed, and we'll find out how we're going to get on tomorrow, which leads me on to the last question. Are you going to get an early night? We don't want to keep you for too long, do we, Carl? So what's your closing thoughts for the listener?
The closing thoughts for the listener, yeah. Enjoy, as always. FC United was.
What an insightful question that was. What's your closing thoughts for everybody, all 12 people that are listening?
All 12 of you. Go on. Margie's got some words of wisdom. Go on, Cal.
The words of wisdom are: come along and enjoy. This club was formed because of, you know, people being disenfranchised and disgruntled with what was going on at the football club that they were supporting. So if you create something like that, then you damn make sure you enjoy whatever kind of ride you want to go on.
Exactly. I mean, just thinking about the money thing that you were talking about before, Carl, I don't know if FC fans or FC United realise this, but one way of dealing with it is by bringing in a foreign investor to bring loads of money and bleed the club dry. I mean, that's an option as well. That's what a lot of clubs seem to do, so maybe that's an answer. I don't know.
No. We're all right.
It definitely doesn't need to be a foreign investor, but if anybody, as always, has got a load of money and wants to, you know, one of these eccentric billionaires who think, no, I'm not doing it that way, like FC United, we don't do it that way, we do it our way. If they want to come and get involved, then I'd quite gladly snap the hand off as long as you only get one vote.
That's the closing thoughts. I was going to say, just to let you know, Carl, that I've got it all cleared with my wife that if I do win the lottery, I'm allowed to siphon off a bit of money for your playing budget. So there you go. But Margie, thanks for joining us. That's a promise, by the way. So, but don't get your hopes up. But thanks, Carl, for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow.
You only do one lucky dip, don't you?
Yeah, one lucky dip a week.
That's his nickname. One lucky dip Hughes.
In more ways than one. Anyway, thank you, Carl, for joining us. Have a good night, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers, Ben. Cheers, Marv.
Cheers, Carl.
Take care. See you later.
Ta-da. Sound of Carl Marchand there on FCM Radio. Radio for FC United Manchester. The live show is going pretty well so far, Ben, you'd have to say.
I do.
This is Friday Night Live Shindig. Boom!
Just to add, Claire's been in touch today. How does Brackley get into the National League North?
You know what, Claire? I've wondered this before. I've asked it of Ben, and he's kind of just walked his way around the question, so I'm glad to come up on a live show. So, Ben, how does Brackley, and other teams, to be fair, not just Brackley, get to be in the National League North? I mean, so far away. It was a couple of seasons ago you told me that we're basically going inside the M25 for one of our games.
Just outside. But we should say they are in Northamptonshire, so they do put the North in Northamptonshire.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. See what I mean, Claire? He avoids the question. I mean, sure, it was quite funny. You have to give him that, but you're listening to the Friday Night Shindig here on FCUM Radio, Radio for FC United Manchester with Ben and Marv. And, well, if you're just joining us late, you've missed a lot. You have missed a lot. We're halfway through the programme. You've missed classic banter with Swampy, first of all. I mean, just brilliant. He took us through his ideal animal football team. He's actually already pitch side in preparation for Saturday's match, and he's already been there for 24 hours.
He's not in Brackley, though. That was made clear. He's actually Banbury. Pitch side of another football pitch in neighbouring Banbury.
Whenever Swampy goes away, he was like this in China, wasn't he? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Have to be near a football pitch. Whatever kind of football pitch is fine, doesn't need to be one I particularly like, but got to be near a football pitch. And then, of course, after talking to Swampy, we heard from Carl, who sounds pretty excited about the season ahead.
And like I said, after Fleetwood on Tuesday...
You were impressed.
That was a good game of football. That was a good performance. It was football I'd like FC to play. It was good.
Was it markedly better than the rest of the pre-season fixtures?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it really was.
So you could say it was a one-off? You might say it's a one-off, and we'll find out
on Saturday, won't we? Spennymoor on Tuesday, of course. We
have to fly it, don't we? Brackley, Spennymoor, like three days apart.
Kidderminster's next Saturday.
Boom, bang.
I know, blimey, Charlie. And we should say, just to say one-offs, a big thank you to everyone who got in touch with regards to our Facebook Live that we did on Tuesday night from the Fleetwood Town Friendly. Over 1,000 views, Marv.
Wow.
Just to watch, I mean, the highest video we've ever had.
Two fat aging men stood at the side of a pitch.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much talking, not about FC, surprisingly. No. So,
not even really talking about anything.
Not really. We're kind of winging it, to be honest. And we did well. We did well. So that'll be coming back tomorrow. I've not decided yet. I think Swampy's going to have a hangover. I get the impression he'll have a hangover.
He's sleeping in a field, Ben. Of course he's going to have a hangover.
So I might do it with James at services on the way down to
Hello.
Brackley.
Welcome to Facebook Live. I am James Quinn. Now, here's Ben.
Thanks, James. That's how it'll start. And that'll get 1,000 hits as well. So a big thank you.
Probably 3,000 for the voice alone.
Definitely. So tomorrow we'll be bringing you live coverage of FC United against Brackley Town. 2:30 we go on air, but we will have a Facebook Live at some point just around lunchtime-ish. And we should say also tomorrow, the wild card, at 1 o'clock it's new time, we'll have an interview with local band Federal Charm. So that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So it's all happening here on FC Radio.
Are we at that point of the show yet where we can start going classic shindig?
Yes.
Would you like to know the current corporate phrase that I think you'll like a lot, which I've heard a lot this week? It's just come from nowhere. Not heard of this before.
Totally out of the blue.
Yep. You ready?
Yep. And let me know. Let me try and work out what it means.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, this one.
Okay.
But we need to consider the art of the possible.
The art of the possible?
The art of the possible.
Is that the right tense?
If you say it back to me, I'll do the joke that I did when I first heard it. Say it to me.
How do you want me?
What we need to do.
What we need to do is the art of the possible.
Sorry, the Ark of the Covenant.
It's the wrong tense, though, isn't it? Isn't it possibility for what could be?
The art of possibilities, you know, the possibilitism triangle, you might call it.
Don't start bringing triangles and different shapes into it, Marv. That's just crazy talk.
I've got to think about it.
So, formations tomorrow, Marv. What formation would you go with?
1-10.
Old school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and obviously the goalkeeper would be...
I'd actually recognise the goalkeeper in the formation because I am sick of not recognising goalkeepers in formations, Ben. I mean, people think that women have had it hard. Look at goalkeepers. Think about a woman goalkeeper, Ben.
Totally ignored in formations.
Ignored in life. Ignored financially, Ben. And now ignored in formations. You know what? Women's football should take a stand on this. And I'm not even kidding. They should start doing it. 1-4-4-2. Sorry, what did they say? 1-4-4-2. Yeah, that's right. The goalkeeper. Because we recognise everybody in women's football. Thank you very much.
And speaking of women's football, congratulations to Kirsty Chambers, who won goal of any Manchester FA competition last season.
That's a really ridiculous title for the award.
True, but she pinged it and it went straight into the top corner. It's in the final of the County Cup and it was superb. And for that, she gets...
Is the goal in the final?
Yeah.
God, I mean, that's the way to win an award,
isn't it? It's the fifth goal as well.
That's the way to win an award.
And I'll show you later. It's absolutely corking finish. And she chose some football boots as part of the prize. And they were black football boots. Black boots and proud, alive and well with the women's team.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
You're listening to the Friday Night Shindig here on FCM Radio. We've got 20 minutes left, so don't you be going anywhere, please.
Get in touch on FCM Radio.
We should say we've had a couple of tweets in. Andy Bannard, who obviously is a man after my own heart, has said Barbie Girl is one of Brackley MD's karaoke songs. Genuine fact. Oh, crikey. Alicia's Attic. Top tune.
There he goes. Come on, Andy. So, you say he's in control of the PA?
He's in charge of the PA.
Do it, Andy. Yeah. Bloody do it, mate.
There we go. So anyway.
Here's a little shout out for Ben and Marv. It's Alicia's Attic. I feel. So he said, take that purple shirt off. You know, it makes me hot. He said, come on, get on, get right.
Now, for those...
You enjoy my company.
Now, for those FCs in the crowd tomorrow going, God, this music's shocking. They've dedicated this to Ben and Marv. Yes, it is our fault. We do apologise. So anyway.
Friday Night Live on the Shindig.
Quiz.
Quiz, right, okay, fine. Straight into the quiz. Not that one, Marv, that one. Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Friday Night Shindig quiz. You never heard this before. It's 8 questions. Ben, maybe time to tell people to get the pens and paper ready.
Get your pens and paper ready, people, because we're having a quiz.
That's right, 8 general knowledge questions to put you to the test. We do put a song in before the answer, just a little quick song, just to give you time to think about the answers to your questions, but here come those questions now. Is everybody ready? And we begin.
No.
Question number one.
Now we're ready.
Oh, right. Question number one. Roughly how many tennis balls are stocked for use at the Wimbledon Tennis Championship fortnight? Is it 570, 5,700, 57,000, or 570,000? 1,000. Question two. In what country is the site of the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear reactor disaster? Chernobyl. Question three. What ancient word for a crown refers to the gaseous outer envelope of Ben's face? Sorry, of a sun or planet, and is a kind of lager. Crown. Question four. Name the famous winged horse from Greek mythology. He's got the wings, but he's a horse. Makes no sense. Question five. What note are the lowest and highest strings pitched to on a standard tuning for a 6-string guitar? And Ben, you used to play guitar, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that, sorry? What was the question?
What note are the lowest and highest strings pitched to on a standard tuning for a 6-string guitar? Question six. To what note does an orchestra tune to before a performance? Question seven. Name the four gases that make up Earth's atmosphere. Four gases. And finally, question eight. Name the bands, Ben. Name the bands that contributed musicians to the surnamed supergroup Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Name the bands.
Name the bands that contributed the musicians
okay.
to the surnamed supergroup Crosby, Stills,
and Nash.
Nash and Young.
Quiz!
Question one. Ben asked you roughly how many tennis balls are stocked for use at the Wimbledon Tennis Championship tonight?
57,000.
Excuse me, not tonight. Fortnight. 570, 5,700, 57,000 or 570,000?
57,000.
It's the correct answer, Ben. Oh. Well played. How did you come to that?
Eh?
How did you come to that?
Guess.
Oh, right. Question two. In what country is the site of the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear reactor disaster?
Ukraine.
Correct answer again, Ben. 2 from 2. Question three. What ancient word for a crown refers to the gaseous outer envelope of a sun or planet and is a kind of lager?
Corona.
Corona's the correct answer, Ben. 3 from 3. Question four. Name the famous winged horse from Greek mythology.
Pegasus.
Pegasus is the right answer, Ben.
I did classics at college.
Friday Night Live really suits you, doesn't it? What's the halfway scores?
4-0.
4-0, Ben. Right, into the music questions. Question 5. What note are the lowest and highest strings pitched to on a standard tuning for a 6-string guitar, Ben? As a former guitarist.
G.
Final answer?
G.
Final answer, G.
G.
You think G.
E.
E.
A.
A.
G.
Could be any of them, couldn't it, mate?
D.
Could be D.
G.
G. It's E. So no. Question 6.
Did I name them all, though?
No, you missed out A.
F. I said A.
It's E-A-D-G-B-E. Question 6. To what note does an orchestra tune to before a performance?
G.
It's A. It's a bad start to the final four questions. Right, name the four gases that make up Earth's atmosphere. You've got to get all four for a point, Ben.
Oxygen.
Correct.
Now, the thing is, carbon dioxide, man.
Yeah.
That contains oxygen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's not the gas.
Well, carbon's not a gas. Carbon dioxide is the gas form of carbon. So say carbon dioxide and it's correct.
Carbon dioxide.
Correct.
Nitrogen.
Correct. Now, here's the tricky fourth one, Ben. The tricky fourth one. Got to get this to get the point. And we're going to take your first answer. We're not going to muck around with this because it's a close quiz.
Helium.
It's argon. Bloody argon. And finally, Ben, question 8. Name the bands that contributed musicians to the surnamed supergroup Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
The Birds.
The Birds is correct.
The Hollies.
The Hollies is correct.
Buffalo Springfield.
Buffalo Springfield. The correct answer, Ben. Yeah, well played. David Crosby came from the Birds, Graham Nash and the Hollies, and Stephen Stills and Neil Young came from Buffalo Springfield. Ben, what are the final scores?
Well, Marv, I'm in shock and awe here, but it's 5-3.
What a quiz. Shindig quiz. Friday Night Live. That's right. That is right, and that is how you do a quiz, ladies and gentlemen. And you are listening to the Shindig Breakfast Show here on FCM Radio. Now, for those of you who have never listened to the Shindig show before, this is a feature called Who's Poo in the Lift? It'll make sense in a minute. So, who's pooed in the lift? Yes, who's pooed in the lift? That's who's pooed in the lift. Well, let's find out now, Ben. So, Ben, who has pooed in the lift this week?
Marv, it's every week, isn't it? It's just an onslaught. We should say, for those people who are new to the show, The whole point behind this is the fact that Marv lives in a flat and someone genuinely did poo in a lift once. And
they left a note. Well, no, they didn't leave a note. Someone else left a note saying, in a not so polite manner, which dirty get did a poo in the lift? And it was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen, mixed with the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. So from there came a metaphor or a simile or a whatever analogy of someone pooing in a lift being an embarrassing situation, and therefore Ben likes to pick out someone that's been particularly embarrassing, and he tries to move away from Trump because it's too easy.
Oh, it's
too easy.
Can't do it, Marv.
So is it Trump? Has he pooed in a lift this week?
Scaramucci, Marv.
I don't think he's pooed in the lift, has he?
No, but I just want to pay homage to him because for a man who literally just hung around for 10 days, he's made such an impact in everyone's life.
The MASH report, whilst I don't think it's the funniest thing that's ever been done, did have a great joke about Scaramucci, which Nish Kumar said to camera, let's have a look at Scaramucci's highlights. And they turned to camera and they had a shot of Scaramucci's hired as White House press secretary, and that was it.
He's had many highlights, though. Many highlights. Superb, jaw-dropping stuff. I just think it's sensational. There's not much politics going on at the moment, Marv, so all we can say is thank you to Scaramucci for making the last 10 days very bearable and surreal as surreal can be.
It feels like everyone's kind of getting used to Brexit happening now, and the negotiations are ongoing, and you get little murmurs out from time to time, but the majority of the British public are going, bored of it.
I saw an article the other day where the European Union now are thinking that, you know, everything with regards to the Brexit negotiations from our side of things is a bit chaotic and no one really knows what's going on.
Sure.
And everyone disagrees with everyone in cabinet and nobody knows really where we're going. European Union now believe that that's all a cunning plan, and we actually do have a plan, the plan of chaos, Marv. To lure them into a false sense of security and then go, pow, here's our demands, eat this.
That's how you do it.
I don't think that's the case.
I mean, that's the smart way to do it, though, Ben.
Why?
And they are the overlords of this country, so we should give them the respect to think that they are smart people. I liked the photo that was circling around this week about the start of the negotiations when they had the EU side of the panel with all their paperwork and folders, and David Davis with nothing, but he didn't even have a pen behind his ear.
He was there for 40 minutes and then left.
People were kind of taking the mick out of that, but I thought that's exactly the kind of guy I want at the table. What? Someone that doesn't need notes, he's just going to riff it on the hoof.
That's how we turn up to that meeting.
We're not going to give you access to the single market, all right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take away your cows. That's right. I'm going to tech the European cows and just see what happens. Just go for it, Dave. Phil, what's his name?
Dave.
Dave, go for it, Dave. Let you untuck your shirt at the back, mate, and feel the breeze. Go for it.
That's Boris, isn't it? He does that.
I mean, they all do it, really.
Apart from Liam Fox, he always...
It's always an embarrassing moment in the workplace when you realise, how long has my shirt been untucked at the back?
And your flies down.
I mean, that's a rarity these days, but that is ultimate blush face emoji.
What?
Have you seen there's a film coming out called...
I saw the advert for it. I went to see Big Boss Baby with my son.
What's that?
It's a film with Alec Baldwin, which is very, very... what's the word? It's a bit like Donald Trump as a baby, and it is very close to the bone in some regards. Right. It does have a happy ending. It was, you know, Movies for Juniors, part of the summer holiday things, £1 for a kid.
Lovely.
Decent film.
Nice to see Alec Baldwin keeping his portfolio wide.
Oh, definitely. But the emoji film came up, and I thought, nope, not going to watch that.
What's it about? What's the trailer show?
Does it need to be about anything?
Yeah,
like
I feel
Angry
like
Birds.
It needs some kind of story.
Video game films don't
I'd
work.
Like to know if, are they going to have, like, will a little yellow dot, like, be permanently like the smiley emoji all the way through the film? Or will the yellow dot change faces depending on the dot's mood?
I think the film's about an emoji that refuses to do the emoji he's meant to do. And therefore, the phone gets put in for repair or something like that. And it's then his mission to go through other apps in his phone to try and rescue the situation. It's a bit like Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph,
yeah. I thought that, as I said, it's a bit like Wreck-It Ralph in that regard.
Essentially the plot to Wreck-It Ralph, Ben. But all right. I mean, to be fair, everyone was surprised at how good the Lego movie was.
It's very good.
If I have to sit here in a few weeks and listen to you say something like, you know what, Marv? The Emoji Movie wasn't actually that bad. I'm going to have to tear my ears off. Just be done with them.
Just,
you know, if you lose the outside of your ear, like all the fleshy part of your ear, you can still hear stuff, right?
Yeah, but it does affect your hearing.
Oh, I'm sure it affects your hearing, Ben. That's why they've evolved into being such great wings on the side of my head here. You know, they're going to...
And they get bigger and bigger, Mar, as you get older.
Don't stop growing. Your old ears.
Yeah, apart from the
sound. Your nose.
So,
you know what else? Eyeballs don't grow from point of birth.
Yeah, they're the same size as when you're a baby.
The same size, Ben.
Uh-huh.
That's when you look at a baby, you go, oh, hasn't he got such big eyes? You go, no, they're normal size.
Marv. Just to close in, because we've only got a few minutes left, just a couple of pieces of other media news. Liam Gallagher has lost his voice after 20 minutes of his first gig.
Right.
In Chicago.
This is worth sharing with the
In Chicago,
the audience,
he turned up at Chicago, did 20 songs, and then his voice went. To be fair, his voice, every time I've heard his voice as a solo performer, it sounds like it is going. He needs to look after himself. You used to be a vocalist, Marv.
I still am a vocalist, Ben.
What's your recommendation for keeping your throat clear?
You know when, like, a footballer's getting old and you hear, like, these pundits on the BBC say, well, he's a very smart footballer because he's changed his game. You know, he recognises, like you see with Ryan Giggs all the time, didn't they? You know, because he's not got the engine that he used to have. He can't run around a pitch for the entire time. So he's more of an intelligent footballer. He sits back, he picks out a pass and all that kind of stuff. What I've done as a vocalist, Ben, is stop singing and start rapping.
Good.
So, you know, that's the way.
Liam Gallagher's not got that in.
No, he's not got that in.
And finally, just before we go, we've got to mention the fact that the FA Cup will be televised.
Ooh.
From the extra preliminary round. That's tomorrow.
Preliminary round?
Yeah, that's when Northwest County sides all go at it.
Worst name for a round ever. They just don't care about labels and titles of things at that level of football, do they? What was that award that Kirsty won?
Goal of the... I think he had a better name.
Goal of the joined up awards for other things which we haven't got titles for either. Well done.
But yeah, so it's going to be Liverland against AFC Liverpool, and it's going to be on the red button tomorrow. It's a lunchtime kickoff, though. That's the only downside. But still, it's good exposure for that level of non-league football. And it's better than last year's idea, which was essentially a guy from Radio 1 going round with an iPad, patting a load of people on the head, going, oh, look at non-league football. Oh, aren't you good? Aren't you good?
Just before we finish, we had a couple of tweets in. Andy Bannan's been in touch again, basically confirming the fact that he will be playing Alicia Zatic at the match tomorrow, so that's tremendous news. And said, Ben went back to say, sorry, everyone that's going to Brackley. And Andy said, you started it, haha. I remember buying a girlfriend at the time, the album. And I'm worried that he remembers buying a girlfriend when he
with
also
an
bought
album.
The album. Yeah, that's quite concerning. But Andy, it's up to you, mate. And the Wildcards got in touch, Ben, to say, Fab Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young knowledge.
That's right.
Well done, Ben. Yeah. It's surprising. We're all taken aback by it.
And we've got 25 minutes left of the show. So 25 seconds, rather, left of the show. This has been the Friday Night Shindig.
What a treat. Join us, won't you, next week again for more joy with Ben and Marv on the Friday Night Shindig.